Good morning and welcome back to 501CTV. I'm your host, Janelle Harris, and this is the podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners. And I'm so excited to have with me this morning, Trudy Crowitz with Nonprofits First. Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining me here today. Trudy and I, we go way back.
We do.
And I haven't seen you in a while, but we have a lot to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about what you do at Nonprofits First and how you got involved, how long have you been with them, and then for our nonprofits that are watching, maybe you've been on the show or you're following along because you are a nonprofit, Nonprofits First is like awesome. Like, I can't say enough good things about what they do, and if you're not involved with them, why you should be. So we'll get into all of that. You guys have an awesome event that most nonprofits know about. Sorry, Matt. That most nonprofits know about in the area, your Hats Off Award. So let's get started and let's dive in and talk about all this fun stuff. So
okay.
I will let you introduce yourself and tell us, you know, what your background is and how you got to be actually the CEO now of Nonprofits First. So I'll let you take that away.
Okay. So I've actually been in the nonprofit industry for about 27 years. My background, I'm a CPA. Mm-hmm. I did a lot with finance and operations. And actually started with Nonprofits First several years ago, almost 20 years ago, as an accredited agency. I was with the ARC of Palm Beach County.
Oh, okay.
And we were one of the first agencies to actually go through what they called certification. Now it's been changed to accreditation. Mm-hmm. And previously it used to be called the Center for Nonprofit Excellence. That's the name that they started with.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yes.
That's a good tidbit. Interesting. Okay.
And so I was one of the CFOs in one of the agencies that worked very closely with the organization
okay.
to help develop their accreditation program.
Gotcha.
And that's what I fell in love with the agency, because to me that was the best thing ever as a chief financial officer mm-hmm. for a nonprofit organization. I was young in my career, and I had a lot to learn, and this really, really helped me learn how yeah. to do best practices, compliance within an organization. So I was,
I was going to say, just a small few things that you probably had to pick up along the way with nonprofits. There's like so many different little things that you have to know and be an expert at.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was great. It really helped me personally and our organization. And I've actually been involved with several nonprofits throughout the years that are accredited agencies. Mm-hmm. I can mention a few. The ARC of Palm Beach County, which
yes.
I mentioned. Boys and Girls Clubs of Palm Beach County. Literacy Coalition of Palm Beach County.
I love all these, yes.
United Way of Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
So I've been fortunate in my career to really be blessed to be in these organizations who really are doing best practices. Mm-hmm. They are accredited agencies. And so I had the opportunity to be involved with a few other agencies as well. And there's quite the difference between those agencies that are accredited and those who are not accredited. Those who are accredited, they have the infrastructure in place. They're already doing what they need to do.
Sure.
And the other organizations have to they need to do a little bit more to get there.
Right.
And so I really have been involved with accreditation throughout my career. And also, I was serving on what they call the Standards Committee.
Okay.
And that's a group of experts in the field that actually helped develop the standards for accreditation. So I was privileged to be the agency representative for several years to that Standards Committee. So, and it's a group of CPAs, of attorneys, of nonprofit professionals
yeah.
who really helped develop the whole accreditation process. And the standards that the organizations need to meet.
Which is so cool because you have the background to know a little bit about why it's important, right? Because you've been with those organizations that don't have the accreditation and then obviously the ones that do and now are providing it. So I think that's a really cool background. You have a lot of expertise to kind of lend to people to say why it's important, which brings me to my next question. Why is it important to have that accreditation? And maybe talk about what does that mean if you are an accredited nonprofit?
Well, if you're an accredited nonprofit, it's actually a mark of quality. Mm-hmm. It's like if you think of other accreditations like colleges and universities, it's that seal of approval mm-hmm. that your organization is doing what they need to do. And it's funny that you say that because recently we had four or five of our accredited agencies receive grants from Impact the Palm Beaches.
Okay.
I'm actually a member of Impact the Palm Beaches, so I was there for that great, exciting night.
That's
and it
awesome.
Was just very exciting for so many of our agencies to be represented there. And to me, that's a mark of, you know, they're doing what they need to be doing. They vet these agencies very closely.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so do we in our accreditation process. So knowing that they're doing what they need to do to be those quality agencies. And so it's a very proud moment for us,
yeah,
for them to win those awards.
And what are some of the things, when you're going through that process, what are some of the things that they're measuring to make sure that you're hitting those standards for accreditation?
So there's actually four key areas in our accreditation process.
Okay.
And I'll start with fiscal or financial,
mm-hmm.
Because when we do a rigorous review every year of the financial status and sustainability of our accredited agencies. And so that's something that our stakeholders look very closely at.
Sure.
Because we want to make sure that the agencies are going to be fiscally sustainable.
Sure.
So that's the first area. We look at personnel or human resources, making
okay.
sure they're doing all the things they need to do for compliance and best practices in human resources.
Okay.
Another area that we look at is called development, and that involves fundraising and volunteer management and interns, those types of things that are involved with development for the organization. And another area, and the final area we look at is called governance. And
okay.
that's about board governance, making sure that the structure is in place for the board to operate and do what they need to do, because there's public trust. And we want to make sure that, you know, the public can trust the organizations.
Sure.
So it's about 300 standards that they need to
wow.
meet. Yeah. So it's a lot.
It's pretty comprehensive,
yeah.
but really cool. So I want to make sure that people understood why that is so important, especially in the nonprofit world, because, you know, I would think that also, not only is it like this blueprint of, you know, you're doing all these things the right way, but I think also it's kind of like a great roadmap to keep the nonprofit on track to like hitting their goals. All four of those things kind of lend itself to hitting all the goals of the organization and the mission. So pretty cool. But I do want to backtrack a little bit. Let's talk specifically about nonprofits first.
Okay.
You guys do so much. And I just want people to understand what you do. Why would I want to be a member? Why do I need to be a member of Nonprofits First if I am a nonprofit or an affiliate?
Well, as I mentioned before, we started with accreditation,
mm-hmm.
but we saw needs in the community that weren't being met. And so we increased our role in the community. We added an education and training component
mm-hmm.
to Nonprofits First. And so that's been monumental for organizations to be able to come and get the training that they need.
Sure.
We also have some signature leadership programs that we have. The first one that we started many years ago, it's called Rising Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for those up-and-comers within organizations. They want to get to the next level. And so we added this very distinct leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
And it focuses on the skill set of the participant to increase in areas they might not have had exposure to.
Gotcha.
So some of the things they cover are like project management, emotional intelligence, conflict resolution, things like that, ethics, leadership skills.
I feel like it's almost like what would be comparable in like a corporate setting to like a management program, like a management certificate almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a really good comparison.
Okay.
For sure.
Interesting.
<Yeah.
laughs> That's cool.
Yeah.
And then what else? So you've got the leadership program.
Right. And then our second signature leadership program is called Advancing Leaders.
Okay.
And that's for those who are ready to move up into the senior level management positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that focuses more on organizational skills, such as fundraising, such as
mm-hmm.
human resources, such as board governance, some of those things that we've already mentioned.
Sure.
So that they have that full capability to cover all of those areas if they're chosen to lead the organization.
Got it.
So that's the second signature program that we have. A third program that we have, it's called CEO Circles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for pretty much for new CEOs who are in their first year, perhaps, and are facing challenges, and they need a cohort of people to talk to about some
sure.
of the challenges. So that's a third program that we offer.
Yeah.
Another program we offer is called 101 for the 501, and that's for organizations who are smaller grassroots organizations,
mm-hmm.
and they need to have that basic training in some of the areas that we mentioned already, the personnel, the development, the human resources, the finance. So it's actually a 4 full-day program. We recently expanded this program to be 4 full days.
Okay.
So that we can focus on those particular areas each of those days. And so after they come out and they graduate from the program, then we give them the opportunity to have a self-assessment to actually move their organization into accreditation, because we know it's such a good value for the organization to become accredited.
Absolutely.
Because we've seen how many, so many of our organizations have grown and developed throughout the year. So that's what's something that we really want to help them achieve.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool, you guys have kind of a unique setup, because I feel like all the programs that you offer, they touch everyone in the organization in some capacity. So it's not just a program for the leaders of the, you know, of the nonprofit. It really can start, you know, ground level on up for everybody. So I think that's a really unique thing that you guys have. And I don't know, I just think it's really cool. It's almost like a mini college for just nonprofits.
Right. So and one other program that I need to tell you about is called our membership program. Mm-hmm. And actually we have nonprofit organizations, and we have affiliate organizations,
yes,
which are for-profit organizations who work with our nonprofits, such as your organization.
Correct.
And so
yes,
we're so thankful for that. So we try to match the needs of our nonprofits with those affiliates, mm-hmm, so that they can get the work done that they need to get done. And it's a great program. And we actually just recently expanded some of our membership offerings. We now have a community calendar, so all of our members can post their events.
Awesome.
Because we hear a lot of times that there's so many events,
yes,
all on the same day sometimes,
yes,
and it's hard to choose. So
well,
we're hoping this is going to be like the hub so
yeah,
that they can go there for that. And the other thing that we recently added was all of our sample forms and documents are now available to our members.
Okay.
So if they need a form, you know, if they need a conflict of interest form,
sure,
or you know, a policy, a finance policy, they can look into these forms and they'll be able to see and use those forms.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, obviously we are involved, and I've learned so much about you guys just in the last year. But I also think it's really kind of a unique thing, too, because there's just so many people on the affiliate side that offer all of these great things to be able to help out the nonprofit community. And it's kind of like all centralized in one place. So it's easy, you know, you guys have a directory, and it's easy to just go through as a nonprofit and say, hey, I need somebody that can do, you know, web design or, you know, whatever they need. And they can go through and easily find somebody that they know has been like vetted and, you know,
right,
is out there like trying to help out in the community and doing all these things. So I think that's really cool. And the other thing that I've heard a lot from the actual nonprofits is that, you know, it really is a community where they can bounce ideas off each other. They can partner on things. You know, you speak about the events that they do, you know, sometimes they can even go hand in hand and do events together.
Oh, absolutely.
Had they not known each other before joining, you know what I'm saying? So it's really kind of a unique little setup, and I think it's really cool what you guys offer. Let's talk about the membership process. If I want to join nonprofits first, what do I do? How do I get involved from a member, like from a affiliate side of it, but also a nonprofit side of it?
So we have a wonderful membership director. So I would put you in touch with her,
mm-hmm,
and then she would talk to you about what you could offer our nonprofits. Now, part of being an affiliate member is that you provide services to nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
We actually ask you to discount those services.
Yes.
Usually 10 or 20% to the nonprofit community to have incentive for them to do work with you, obviously. So we wanted to provide,
absolutely,
that incentive as well. But we know that a lot of our affiliates actually do a lot of work with nonprofits. So it's a specialization that they have,
yeah,
so that they can actually help those nonprofits and move them to the next level. So we see a lot with marketing, with,
mm-hmm,
branding, those things, with finance, with HR issues, you know. So we have a wide range of affiliates. And then just go to our website and you can see all the different offerings that we have.
Gotcha.
I love it when people call me and say, can you recommend somebody? Immediately I go to our affiliate directory.
Absolutely.
And say, oh, I can. Let's go here. And I'll,
yeah,
show them how to get to our affiliate directory, which is on our website. So it's available to the public.
Awesome. And you guys, you revamped the whole like website, I think, recently.
Yeah,
or,
we,
yeah,
did.
It looks
been
really,
less than a year.
It,
yeah,
looks really great. I was out there yesterday just looking around on there. I'm like, this looks so good. It's really awesome. What other initiatives do you guys have this year? I know you stepped in as CEO, we said, in January. So it's gone quick. But what initiatives do you guys have moving forward that you're really trying to, you know, get done for Nonprofits First?
So we have a new program. It's actually just finished our pilot on that. It's called Launching Leaders.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know about this one.
Yeah, this is a new one.
Okay, good.
So what we've seen, part of our Rising Leaders program involves what we call a service learning project. We have nonprofits that actually submit proposals for projects that they need done, but they don't have the resources.
Gotcha.
So our Rising Leaders will pick up to probably four or five projects. There's usually about a cohort of 25 of them.
Okay.
So we have four or five work on each of those projects. But there's actually usually about 20 projects that get submitted. So there's lots and lots of projects that don't get done. And
gotcha.
It breaks my heart because there's such a need in the community for
it
these
really
special
is.
Projects. So what we're doing now is we're working with our local colleges and universities to hire interns. We have an intern program at Nonprofits First.
Yes.
That we reinvigorated right after COVID last year. And so we've seen the talent that comes out of these colleges and universities. And they just need a foot in the door.
Absolutely.
So we are matching these interns with these nonprofits who have projects through Nonprofits First.
That's genius.
I love that. We recently did a pilot program with interns and Lighthouse for the Blind.
Okay.
They submitted a proposal for our service learning project last year, but they didn't get chosen by the group. So we asked them if they wanted to participate in this pilot, and they were very happy and excited to do that.
Oh, sure.
And so we have a staff member that's working with the interns and with the nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. To make sure that the project gets done, they go over, there's a lot of project management involved, and they develop the scope of the project. So it's a learning experience for the interns as well.
Awesome, yeah.
And then the organization gets their project completed, which is much needed.
Yeah.
So that for the short term, that is our goal. And for the long term, it's actually having these interns get their foot in the doors with a nonprofit, and then actually maybe serving long-term in the nonprofit community and getting hired by a nonprofit. So recently piloted that. We're going to be working on fully developing the program during the summer with the hope of starting it in the fall.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then it just keeps going. I mean, like you said, there's no shortage of projects and probably interns too that
absolutely
found
both
which I think is so great, so that's awesome. Okay, and then what else? Let's talk about what's the 501 Pro Toolkit?
The 501 Pro Toolkit is actually that self-assessment that I talked about.
Yeah.
When organizations go through the 101 for the 501, during that process they're kind of looking at their infrastructure.
Okay.
Because it is in the four focal areas that we talked about on personnel, governance, development, and finances. So they're really looking at their organization and are they doing the things that they need to do, best practices, compliance. And then once they graduate that program, then we give them the self-assessment to go through so that they, we sometimes call it accreditation in a box, a little bit different in that it's a self-assessment. So when they actually go through accreditation, we go through and verify everything that they're meeting the standards. So it's more arduous the process.
Sure.
But we find that organizations that go through 101 for the 501, get the toolkit, and then go through accreditation have a much easier process getting accredited.
I'm sure.
Than those who come off the street and say, hey, I want to get accredited.
Right.
And they haven't gone through that. Yeah, exactly. So
how long does that process take? The whole accreditation process?
The accreditation process, the initial process takes about 12 to 18 months.
It does. Wow, that is a long time.
It is a long process. We find that those, like I mentioned, that go through the training course that we have, it's shorter amount of time. Usually get through it in a year.
Okay.
And those who don't usually take that 18 months. So it's more of a process. And it's more time consuming for the organization on the back end going through accreditation and getting everything in place versus if they go through the class. They're starting to already develop those things that they need.
Okay, got you. And then after they're accredited, is there an ongoing, courses that they have to take to keep that on a yearly basis, or how does that work?
There's no courses per se, but there is an accreditation process every year.
Okay.
So every year we focus on one of those four categories. We recently revamped this, and so that prior to this, what happened is they would go through what we call a full review.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the next 3 years, they would go through a desktop review.
Okay.
And then that fourth year, they would have to go through the full review again.
Got it.
Well, that full review takes a lot more time and resources on the organization's part as well as Nonprofits First staffing.
Sure.
So what we did is we changed it to have that first, any new organization has to do the full review. But if you've been accredited before, you go through a categorical review.
Okay.
And those will focus on one of those four areas we mentioned. Mm-hmm. So any, you know, the first year, perhaps you're going through personnel and we're doing a deep dive into human resources, making sure that you meet all the standards for that. Mm-hmm. And then the second year may be fiscal, third year development, the fourth year governance.
Sure.
So every year we do a deep dive into those different categories. But it allowed us to standardize the workflow for us and for the nonprofit organizations,
right,
as well as the cost. So now the cost is the same every year.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, it's a cool process. And like I said, I'm sure, I don't know, maybe you can speak to this, but I'm sure like that is a goal of, you know, most of your nonprofits that are coming to the door to want to get that accreditation and be able to like say that, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big process.
Yeah, so, it is a big deal. Through. We have about 80 organizations that are accredited. We call them our Elite 80.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's so great to see how well they're doing in the community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them started with that course and then they just developed and got accredited. And now they're doing great things. I can mention like Path to College, Digital Vibes. I don't know if you've probably heard of them. But
yes,
they started
with
our 101 for the 501. And so we just see them growing.
Yeah.
And they're doing great work in the community, which is very rewarding for us.
Absolutely. And that's such a good, you know, just stamp of approval on, you know, if you go through this program, it really is like such a benefit. And I love all the resources that you guys have. Because if I was a nonprofit, I couldn't imagine not having that support system of experts like yourself, you know, all within that community, just at my fingertips that I can be able to bounce ideas off of. And these classes that you guys do and all of the courses that you offer are just invaluable. So I think that's really cool. So we are getting low on time, of course.
Already.
It goes so quick, Trudy. I do want to talk about like basically what I call the Grammys of the nonprofit world, which is called the Hats Off Nonprofit Awards.
Right.
So I want you to talk a little bit about that because I think it's really neat. I went last year and I was just blown away. I was like, I really felt like I was like at the Grammys.
Yes.
It was like a big production. I'm like, this is so cool. So I'll let you tell a little bit about what that is, when it is, so everybody can be on the lookout for that and attend this year.
Okay, I call it the Academy Awards.
Totally. Same. There you go. That's even better. Yes, I love it.
So it is October 8th.
Yes.
It's at the Kravis Center. Mm-hmm. It's from 5:30 to 7:30. And it actually celebrates our nonprofit community. We actually give out 11 awards. We give out 13 awards. Two are given out that night, but 11 awards people actually submit nominations for prior to the event. And then last year we had 167 nominees for our 11 awards.
There was a lot. And for me, like coming in as that being my first time seeing that, I was actually just blown away by all of the different nonprofits. And it's cool to see everybody represented in the room, like together at one time. You feel like the energy and it's just like a room full of really good people out there just doing awesome things all year, all the time, day in, day out. So it's really a neat event.
And some of the awards that we give out are Innovation Award. Mm-hmm. We have a Collaborator Award. We have an MVP. We have Professional of the Year Award, Executive of the Year Award, Volunteer of the Year. You know, so many different categories which organizations can actually nominate people for the great work they've done in our community.
Absolutely.
Throughout the year.
Yeah.
And then at the award, we actually have a Best Hat Award.
Yes.
Because it is hats
super,
off.
That's the fun part. So like you walk in, I remember like during the reception hour and it's like you're just looking at everybody in their hats and there were some really crazy
very
ones.
Creative. They get
very creative.
People are working on their hats already, I've been told.
Are so, you?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
But yes, I know. It was a very coveted award.
Always. Yes. I've heard every year it's the major award. So.
And another award we give out at that night is called the People's Choice Award.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have people at the award. There's a survey that they do to nominate a People's Choice. And
right.
We give out a People's Choice Award at that night as well.
That's right. And that's like, that happens, nobody knows.
At the award.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, cool. So that's October 8th. at the Kravis Center.
Yes.
You should definitely be there. Our tickets are not out yet.
Tickets are not yet. No, we do have our sponsorships open, and if you know, okay, there's a lot of opportunities to sponsor the awards.
Yeah.
So we invite people to go to the hatsoffawards.org, mm-hmm, and they can see the sponsorship opportunities. We will probably open tickets a couple months before.
Yeah.
But
I know. It feels like it's so far away, but it'll
yeah,
be here
soon. Yeah, we're going to open up. Nominations are going to be opening on middle of June.
Okay.
So we'll have those coming out through the end of July.
So many like awesome nonprofits too. So it's exciting. I can't wait to go and see how that goes. So before we wrap up, Trudy, what's like probably the one thing you want people to know about Nonprofits First and why they should check you guys out?
I think it's all about our mission. I've had a CEO from a nonprofit organization call me and say, "What can he do for us?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "No, that's not what we do. It's about what we can do for you. We want to help you achieve your mission." So that's why we're here. So I just want people to know that, you know, we want to help our nonprofit community. Mm-hmm. One of the things I didn't mention about the Hats Off, last year we actually have a new award that was presented last year. It's the Cultural Award
for
the best cultural organization. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we're partnering more with our cultural community because there's lots of nonprofits that are representative in our cultural community.
Yes.
That we want to know, we want them to know that we're here for them. We're here to provide, you know, what they need to help them achieve their mission. So
yeah,
we want to go to animal charities and environmental charities, which are near and dear to our hearts.
There's so many.
There are. There's about 8,000 in Palm Beach County.
The number blows me away every time I hear it. I couldn't believe it when I first started getting involved in the nonprofit world. I was like, I'm sorry, just in Palm Beach County? Like, it's a lot. So it's really great that, you know, you guys are there as kind of like that rock for everybody that's in our community, doing such good things, and to be able to help them and really elevate them and make them better. So we appreciate all the work that you're doing, and I appreciate you joining us here today and scratching the surface on Nonprofits First. There's so much we could talk about, but
well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I appreciate it too, and good to see you as always. And thank you guys for joining us again here. Please check out Nonprofits First if you are a nonprofit or even a business member in the community. Like Trudy mentioned, their affiliate program is awesome, and it's a great way to be able to get involved with nonprofits and help them and, you know, just work together with them. The partnership opportunity there is really great, and it's really rewarding. I can tell you that from personal experience. So we'll see you next time here. We're out of time on 501CTV, but thank you again, Trudy, for joining. And a special thank you to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only social content creation studio. And we will see you on our next episode. Thank you again.